Tadeusz Kantor is very well known to Poles, but not only to Poles. How is it possible that he's such an important person in the world of theater all over the world?
I think that he's known not only to theater people, but also anyone who is interested in visual arts and performance. Kantor was born in 1915 and he died in 1990. As last year, we celebrated the centennial commemorating both 100th anniversary of his birth, but also 25th anniversary of his death. I think that the reason why Kantor is known not only to the Polish audiences, but also primarily in Europe, but also in the United States, in Canada, in Mexico, in Brazil, in Argentina, is because Kantor was a painter, a theater director, stage designer, writer, and a theoretician at the same time. His experiments with painterly techniques were continued by him on stage and vice versa. And his stage designs from the 1950s, for example, contained many of his ideas about the attributes of space, which he had presented on his canvases. And his notes about production were not only a record of the events on stage, but also provided an intense theoretical background for his understanding of the shifts in the theory of theater. So I think that this is one of the reasons why he is so well known in Poland and in Europe, because the diversity of his artistic endeavors align him with such artists as, for example, Marcel Duchamp, Meyerhold, Oskar Schlemmer, Antonin Artaud, Pina Bausch, Jackson Pollock, Kiefer, Grotowski, of course, Christo, Alan Kaprow, Peter Brook, or Robert Wilson. His most widely known productions outside of Poland, like The Dead Class, Wiele Pole, Let the Artist Die, I Shall Never Return, and Today's My Birthday, introduced the Western audiences to very particular non-traditional theater forms that had been shaped by Kantor and his presence on stage. I mean, that was one of the attributes of his theater, that Kantor was present on stage during every performance. And in a way, you know, his particular aesthetic very often aligned itself with radical transformations in the theater happening, let's say, in the West.
You are one of the people who are trying your whole career, your whole life, what you do academically and otherwise, is really devoted into Kantor and his art and promoting him all over the world. How did your adventure with him start?
In 1985, Kantor was in New York with his latest production, which was Let the Artist Die. And it was presented at La Mama. I was asked to interview Kantor for a little theater magazine. And I contacted the company and requested an interview with Kantor. And at the beginning, the belief was that I was an American journalist, and Kantor was not necessarily interested in giving interviews in New York at the time. However, he agreed for me to join him for a short interview. So when I met with Kantor in 1985, and when he found out that I could speak Polish and that I was actually from Poland, a half an hour interview translated into a two-hour fantastic exchange about his theater ideas. So I had a lot of material, and I contacted at that time the Drama Review and Richard Schechner. And Richard Schechner said, yes, this is fine, you know, we can have an interview with Kantor, but would you be interested in translating some of Kantor's theoretical writings? And at that time, in 1985, the only other piece that was translated into English was Kantor's Theatre of Death Manifesto, and it was published actually in Canada first, Canadian Theatre Review. I said yes, so I prepared a selection of Kantor's theoretical writings, which I translated into English, and they were published in the Drama Review. And this is how it all started. And so indeed, for me also, last year was an interesting year because I was celebrating 30 years of my engagement with Cantor, Cantor's theater and his writings about theater. But I have to say that what started as an accidental encounter with this Polish theater director and a visual artist completely changed how I think about theater and how I talk about theater, how I teach theater, and how I do other academic work. I'm a 10th century medieval scholar, but hadn't been for my encounter with Cantor, I would have never written the book that I did in 1999. So even though Cantor is talking about non-traditional theater forms, he introduced me to a mode of thinking about theater that extended beyond theater or the 20th century theater into my entire work as a theater academic.
Obviously, you must have known him very well as a person as well, right? I mean, you probably had a number of meetings with him. What kind of person was he?
There are various different apocryphal stories about Cantor and how he behaved. My encounters with Cantor in New York were always extremely complex and always connected with his yet another production that was presented in New York. I only knew Cantor for 5 years, you know, from the time we met in 1985, and Cantor died in 1990, and we were supposed to meet in January 1990. I was supposed to fly to Paris to have an interview with him after his latest production, which was Today's My Birthday. But of course, that never happened. What was interesting in those encounters is that Cantor believed that it's necessary to have an engagement with theater academics. So, for example, in Poland, he worked very closely with Krzysztof Pleśniarowicz. In the United States, he was in touch or in contact with me, and I was, in a way, Cantor's translator into English. And that manifested itself in 1989, when I was invited by Cantor to participate in an event organized at Georges Pompidou Center in Paris when he received an honorary legion. I was representing the United States at the conference that was put together at that time. And this is precisely, you know, the understanding that we had, and that is that Cantor also needed a historian. Cantor needed someone who would be able to engage with him not only on the level of a critical production, but also historically. And so this is my encounter with Cantor was very academic in a way, I could say. I was his translator. I was at the time writing about his theater. I was trying to locate his theater in the context of various different traditions. So in the context of the tradition of high modernism, specifically Cantor's engagement with Dada, constructivism, surrealism, but also with his engagement with what I called postmodern ideas. So, for example, his theater of personal confessions coexisted with diverse forms of postmodern art and critical theory, for example, Michel Foucault, Jacques Derrida, or Gilles Deleuze. Cantor very often did on stage what they expressed theoretically in their writings.
Did you ever have a chance to get into him as a person?
He was always a person. I mean, you know, my encounters with Cantor were always on the level of the exchange. There was no distinction for him between art and life. I mean, as he said in the 20th Milano lesson, his life and his art diverged and converged in order to express certain belief about the existence of a human being. So there was no distinction in a way between between those elements. There is, if I could say, there is one thing that maybe would shed some light on how Cantor perceived the relationship between art and life. In 1988, Cantor publishes an essay which is called To Save from Oblivion. I mean, that's such a beautiful text that I also memorized it. So he says, everything I have done in art so far has been the reflection of my attitude towards the events that surrounded me, towards the situation in which I have lived, of my fears, of my faith in this and not something else, of my distrust in what was to be trusted, of my skepticism and my hope. And I think that really encapsulates what Cantor as a person and Cantor as an artist was all about.
He died, right? I mean, he died, although nobody thought he would. Like, it was a completely unexpected event. How did that impact you and your work and, I guess, your life?
I think that to this day, there is no day that I don't see the mark of Cantor's influence on my life. Whether I read his writings or translate him into English or I do other work. The problem, as you know, if you are so intimately engaged with translating somebody else's work into a different language, you constantly feel as if you're walking in the head of that person. You continuously engage. Translating Cantor into English was an extraordinary experience for me because, of course, you know, it's almost an exploration of the tension that exists between Polish language and English. Cantor's writing, even in Polish, reads like poetry. So how do you translate that into English? You're trying to find a way of conveying Cantor's ideas in English was just an extraordinary adventure for me. So because of this, there's a certain intimacy involved in the process of translating Cantor into English. So my encounter with Cantor, it was very intimate on that level.
And when he suddenly died?
Well, it was very traumatic. And to this day, you can feel that in very many actors of Cricket 2 Company who had worked with him so closely. I did not work with Cantor that closely. My work with Cantor was through translations. Even though it's only through translation, I really feel that his death marked me in a particular way, but also marked me not only emotionally, but there is a certain reason why 30 years after, you know, 25 years after Cantor's death, I feel committed to talking about his theater and changing how I talk about his theater and trying to reveal certain aspects about Cantor's theater that also are connected with how my thinking changes.
Was the fact that he was Polish important to him?
Of course. If you consider his productions from the Dead Class onwards, the Dead Class 1975, Wielopole, Wielopole 1980, Let the Artist Die 1985, I Shall Never Return 1988, and Today Is My Birthday 1990, every single one of those productions had a lot to do with how we think about Polish history, how Cantor thought about or remembered or wanted to remember or didn't want to remember Polish history or his family and et cetera, and every single one of those productions precisely deals both with the aspect of memory and history, and of course his memory in Poland and his history and the history of Polish theater or Polish history period. In the summer of 1990, I had numerous conversations with Cantor about organizing a Cantor festival in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to do what he had done or what had been done for him in Paris in the summer of 1989, and that is that the audiences had the opportunity to see some of the productions in rep, in repertory, as well as see Cantor's work as a visual artist. At that time, he had completed a series of paintings which were entitled Further On Nothing. When I met Cantor in Paris in 1989, we started to have a conversation. Would he be ever interested in bringing Cricotu Company and his work to Minneapolis?
Which is the place where you work, right?
Which is the place where I work, and which is also the place of a pretty well-known museum, which is called Walker Art Center, which was very important for performance art in 1960s and 70s in the United States. So Walker was interested in sponsoring. When Cantor would come to the United States, he would mainly be in New York, except for one time when he was in Los Angeles during the Olympic Games. But when Cantor came to the United States, he would only present his work at La Mama in New York, nowhere else. So this was supposed to be the first time that Cantor and the company would be outside of La Mama and come to Midwest, to Minneapolis, and have a festival of his work and the work of Cricotu Company here in Minneapolis. It was unprecedented. It was fantastic. You know, it was supposed to be really a conference, and I was planning to invite people from all over the world to converge onto Minneapolis in order to talk about Cantor's work. We raised the funding, we had the funding, and, you know, of course, everything came to naught on December 8th when I got a telephone call that Cantor had died that night. So it never happened. So, yes, I do regret that we didn't have the opportunity to present such a festival here in the United States. What I would like to share with you are two definitions of theater that Cantor incorporated into his way of thinking about that art. One, I would state further that theater is the place that reveals, like some fords in a river do, the traces of transition from that other side into our life. And the second definition is that was put forth in 1980. And the reason I'm mentioning this date is important because what fascinated me about Cantor is that his idea about theater was not stable. It changed. And that was exactly what was very important about Cantor's theater, that in his journey, which more or less started in 1940s until his death in 1990, every production that Cantor had created marked a stage in his theater. So, for example, there was the time of Odysseus during World War II. In 1956, he starts with the idea of autonomous theater when he stages Vytkacis' The Cuttlefish. In 1961, it's theater informel with Vytkacis' The Country House. 63, the Zero Theater with The Madman and the Nun, a play, yet another play by Vytkacis. In 1967, it's Theater Happening with The Water Hen. 1973, The Impossible Theater, when Cantor is presenting Dainty Shapes and Hairy Apes by Vytkacis. And then, of course, the Theater of Intimate Commentaries that started with The Dead Class. So every single one of those productions marked a change in Cantor's understanding of theater. So what fascinated me when I met Cantor is that in 1980, he comes up with yet another definition of theater, and he was prepared to abandon very many of his artistic ideas in order to explore the new understanding of theater. So the second definition of theater I would like to share with you is the one that he comes up with in around 1980, and in the essay called Theatrical Plays, Cantor says the following: theater is an activity that takes place if life is pushed to its final limits, where all categories and concepts lose their meaning and right to exist, where madness, fever, hysteria, and hallucinations are the last barricades of life before the approaching troops of death and death's grand theater. And just this first line, theater is an activity that takes place if life is pushed to its final limits, where all categories and concepts lose their meaning and right to exist, is precisely what I accepted as a mandate, not only for my understanding of Cantor's theater, but also in terms of how I think about scholarship, the work that I'm doing,